ended up in my spam.
It do that, you know? Well, I mean, it's probably just because it's like just a link from a brand new email address.
Right. Yeah, that's probably it.
They're like, this seems sus. Well, we're just going to put this aside.
He's looking for your secrets.
Right. Click here for your daily download.
I do need my penis to be bigger. Click, click, click.
Dude, it is obscene how many of those get sent. Like,
I just went to my spam folder because I'm like, oh, maybe, you know, and yes, it was in there. But like, of course, I have to do the quick scroll. And I'm like, man, I'm so glad this spam filter's here. Because right? Jesus,
oh, geez, the things you would have to just like filter
and face on a daily basis.
Dude, it's wild. It is absolutely wild. Well, what's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Panels on Pages. My name is Dalibor, and today we are doing something fun, and we are joined by the man himself, the myth, the legend, Josh Wasta. How you doing?
Good, good. Happy. I've had you on my show. I've had you on a graphically novel, so I'm super happy to be returning the favor and doing a Panels on Pages.
I have been excited to have a chat with you, and I figured everyone's been geeking about these San Diego leaks and releases that today was the day.
I don't have if I moved my camera, you would see that I've got my TV, my YouTube setup is kind of like the YouTube channel is on. Nice. And it automatically like updates all my subscriptions, and one of them, like, I subscribe to DC, subscribe to Marvel, subscribe to IGN, like everything that's cranking out stuff. Like, in fact, I just saw like 20 minutes ago, Seth MacFarlane put a thing out saying that the Orville's moving to Disney Plus.
Really?
Yes.
That's so surprising.
Well, Disney owns Hulu.
Sure, but that's like,
yeah,
not really a family friendly show, I would say.
I mean, it's Star Trek-y. I mean, it's a little more adult than your old Trek, but it's about the same as new Trek.
Right.
So I think it's more of a strategic move for Disney to kind of move up against Paramount Plus, you know, in the sci-fi kind of aspects of it. So yeah, let's see. The Sandman just had their first full trailer released. So that one I have to wait for my wife to get home on because she's a huge Sandman person. But yeah, just kind of really interesting to see everything that's kind of coming out. And yeah, I've got it. I've just everything that I see, like, whoops. Maybe I should mute my TV if I'm going to move around like that. But everything that I see like coming out, I'm like, okay, subscribe to that channel. So like for the next week, so I can see everything coming. But
there's
yeah,
just so, I mean, there's so much, there's just so damn much. I did you see the new Shazam trailer?
Yes. We watched that earlier after we recorded an episode. I'm super happy about it. I liked the first one. I like the happy side of DC. Yeah. You know, I really, really enjoy what they do when they're allowed to be just a little goofy and a little happy. And Shazam is a great example of that. Aquaman, I thought, was a great example of that. And then you've got the whole Snyder side, which is just very dark. And, you know, and
but that's the thing, is they confirm that it's in the Snyderverse, if you will.
Right, right. Which, okay, that's fine. But I like to see that they're moving certain properties. I wasn't a huge fan of Wonder Woman 84, but I will give that at least it was trying. Yeah, it was trying to stay true to Wonder Woman as an uplifting character. I would also say that Superman should be an uplifting character, and you don't need to make him all grim dark either.
I was real mad about that. I fought about that for years and years. They're like, oh, you know, he's gonna grow up to be the Superman we all know and love. And I'm like, yeah, but we don't watch Superman for the, oh, he had a period where he wasn't really sure what he was going to do with himself. That's why in every telling of Superman, that's 2 pages long. The right. rest of it is him being a symbol of hope. The rest of it
is called Smallville.
Yeah. It's like the era of, I don't know if I want to be a superhero is not the thing we want to focus on.
I mean, there are several heroes that I will be the first to say I love the reluctant hero kind of archetype. I am a huge Gambit and Rogue fan. Like, they are my favorite superheroes. And both of them come from a past where they are reluctant heroes. They had to be placed into a way where they had to make the active decision to become a hero.
Right.
Superman doesn't really fall into that. Superman was raised with the ethics and morality, you know, to just kind of understand, okay, I have all of this power and I could go batshit crazy, but I'm not going to.
Right.
You know?
And Snyder was like, but what if he wasn't raised like
right.
that?
And right.
that was the, and like the, I think the single worst scene in Man of Steel for me is, what was I supposed to do? Let him die? I don't know. What the fuck do you mean you don't know? This is your teenage child with superpowers. You have to know.
Right, right. You have to make an active decision. Right. And I mean, I don't, Man of Steel is, it isn't even snapping Zod's neck. I get that. That was done actually in the comics.
Had to happen.
That's fine.
I was shocked when it happened. Because as he's holding him, and I was like, what's, I'm literally in the chair, in the theater. I'm like, what's the Superman way out of this? Like, how does he make this right? And he does it. And I was like, oh! And then like, just like, as I was walking to the car, I'm like, it couldn't have been done any other way. Like a like classic Superman way out of it to like do some sort of good thing with it. And like some sort of positive like outcome would have been too cheesy for modern audiences. He had to kill him there. And I get that.
All superheroes that have been around more than 30 years have killed somebody. I mean, Batman has killed somebody or people, even though he has the code not to. It's just that it's the way in which it's done. Like, Zod was done in a way that he's like, I don't want to do this, but there is no other way out, which is very different than if you look at like Injustice, where it is a revenge kill that puts him down a path.
Right.
You know, and I think there needs to be a little bit more nuance there, you know, between the motivation of for preservation or for revenge, because they have very different effects on the psyche moving forward.
For sure.
You know,
for sure. So. I think somebody was saying basically like Man of Steel would have been like fine if they had just changed the ending and basically like, snaps Zod's neck, that's fine, but then he should come out of the building, look around at the fucking destruction, and then start cleaning up.
Right, absolutely.
And I was like, oh, that's brilliant, because that automatically, that puts him up two levels as far as a hero.
Right.
It was just like, and then everything was fine, and he worked at the Daily Planet, and I was like, what?
Right. A, the Daily Planet was still standing, but B, what about all this shit that's going on, buddy? There's a lot.
It was not a great setup. And I hated Wonder Woman 84. I cried at the end, and I was immediately mad about it because they didn't deserve it. They didn't earn the tears. Like, they got me with the dad shit, right? Oh, he figures out that he's got a son all of a sudden.
That has been there the entire movie.
Has been there as a visible, tangible reminder.
All I want is to spend time with you, Dad.
But all of a sudden, he figures out he's got a son. I was like, oh man, like, oh, the kid gets his, you know, the kid's alive. The kid, you know, he's got. But I was like, they didn't fucking earn that though. And I was so mad because I was tearing up, and I was like, fuck, they didn't earn that.
I was explaining to somebody like right after that came out, like why I didn't like it. And I was like, because, you know, you get your ending and it's a big Wishmaster ending and it's a bunch of bullshit. I'm like, and then they couldn't have made it any more like brick in your face if they had played Cats in the Cradle above like his great, like, my boy was just like me. Like, now it's just, it was too much. There were obvious editing holes throughout that entire movie.
Yeah,
because the motivation is like, I love Diana, I want to be like Diana, I love Diana, I want to be like Diana, and now I'm a panther, like, why?
Man, the whole cheetah thing, I was real mad about that, because it's like, I wanted to see that fight. And it's like, they built up this fucking armor. It protected her for one swipe. Then she takes it off. And I was like, what the fuck?
Why?
What's the point of the whole, okay, fine. Fuck that. And then like literally the whole trailers, all the shit was about this fucking armor and then nothing.
Right.
And then the whole Cheetah fight was just like, Cheetah was gray against a gray wall or gray pavement in the dark, the middle of the grayest part of the fucking night. The whole scene was gray. Even Wonder Woman turned out gray in that scene.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck? What is this fight scene? Like, what, this is like the most egregious. Let's put this fight in the night because we don't want to have to do detailed graphics.
Right. We're going to take Kristen Wiig, who's one of the most expressive actresses today, like in her up and coming, like coming up in movies. And then we're going to CGI fuck the hell out of her and make her look horrible.
I didn't like it. I didn't think it looked good. I was like, they could have, like, this is something that you could have done a great costume on. This could have been a physical thing, and you could have just cleaned it up for the flips and the shit.
Right.
Like, give me a graphic version for all the fancy jumping and shit. But like, this is something that's not new. Like, hairy creatures is not new shit. Like,
right.
You wouldn't have even had to call the Winston Company. Like, you would have to call any fucking cosplayer.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I got a couple in Colorado. I can give you their numbers. Like, it's real easy.
It was so wild. I was like, wow, they just went like full CG. Like, the only good thing, honestly, the only good thing in that movie to me was how they did the invisible plane. Thought it was brilliant. It looked great. It was just like this beautiful moment, but it was just like, if you take it out of context, it's great. But in context, it's just part of a big and at very large points, problematic film.
Yeah. I was about to say, we didn't even get into the whole part of consent throughout the entire
And then at
movie.
The end, do I know you? Oh boy, do you?
Yeah.
Like,
well,
it was like somebody, like it was something that,
can I talk to you about this STD that I have that only exists in the Amazon for some reason? Like,
like, hey, I don't know how I got this.
Yeah.
No, that was, it was wild. It was like, he could have just been back. He didn't have to be some dude.
Right. Absolutely.
Like, it just, you could have literally just, he just came back.
Yep.
You could have had a scene where she finally gives him up and he just dissipates.
Yep. No reason. No reason for the stealing it's somebody else's
like it was
body.
Magic. It was literal magic. It created walls and shit in Egypt. Why couldn't it create?
Right. A person.
Like,
yes.
It was. And like the logical inconsistencies in it. Like I was mad about it. The only other thing that I took from it, and this took me like a while to like reconcile, because when Batman v Superman came out, I was like, this is fucking terrible Batman. Like,
yeah.
He's so fucking emotional. Like, his whole drive is this like fear, this like deep fear of like, if there's even a 1% chance, blah, blah, blah. Like, he's so fucking emotional. And like, he's not even resorting to logic. But like, I had this thought, I'm like, wait, 1984, Bruce Wayne, about like 13, 14 years old. What does 13-year-old Bruce Wayne wish for when everyone gets a wish?
Right.
His parents back.
Yeah.
And what does he have to do at the end of that 2 days or whatever?
Right. Lose his parents
them
again.
Up. Yeah. I was like, oh, and that gives him a deep-seated distrust of people with powers. And I was like, fuck. Like, that at least makes it work. Like,
good job, 84. But, you fixed Batfleck.
Right. Like, and it's like it at least made it make sense. Inadvertently, 100% inadvertently, because they didn't plan for that. But that's the only way it makes sense in my head now. Like, he had to give up his parents twice. Like, that'll fuck you up.
Well, two things on that. The first one is, I like that, and I do like Batfleck. I've always explained Batfleck as normally Batman, and how we understand Batman is that Bruce Wayne is the mask that Batman wears.
Right.
He's really Batman.
Yeah.
Like, the DC Snyderverse reversed that to where Batman was a mask that Bruce Wayne was wearing. And that's not how we normally perceive Batman. And I don't think it works as well. I think it works well when people are like looking at Bruce Wayne, understanding Batman, but also understanding Bruce hasn't been Bruce for a long time. Batman took over a long time ago, and now Bruce is the mask.
Right.
And the other thing is your fix using Wonder Woman 84 reminds me a lot of how I used to explain X-Men The Last Stand to people. It's one day Jean Grey wakes up and goes, man, I really wish I was Scarlet Witch. Boom, X-Men 3.
I mean, I don't want to say she's Scarlet Witch.
She's more Scarlet Witch than she is Jean Grey in that movie.
What I liked in that movie was that they really... it was funny because like the big sell ahead of time, I watched like a couple interviews and stuff. This was like the early days of like watching shit on YouTube before right. It came out. The director, the hell's his name? He did Rush Hour, right?
Was it?
That was the thing. I was like, oh, that's like a weird pivot. I always forget his damn name. But anyway, he was like, oh, we're like, you know, like I used to read comics, like I'm a big fan of X-Men, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, we're going to recreate some of these like really big moments from comics. And I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. And it's like, yeah, you did that, but like without any substance. Like right. you can't recreate moments from comics and even from TV shows out of context because it looks bad. It makes no sense. Like the fight with Callisto, cool. But what does that mean in that
why? Universe?
Nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
Nothing because they have no history. There's no vindication of, oh, Storm beats Callisto. That's like, this is an important moment. It wasn't an important moment. It was he was just fighting a goon.
Right. Brett Ratner, by the way.
Ratner, that's what it was.
Yeah. But as you mentioned that, somewhere that it has been done well is in the old X-Men cartoon that I just watched a bunch of episodes of in the last 3 hours because of the Comic-Con announcement. And you reaching out to me saying, we should talk some X-Men shit.
I fucking, dude, that was from my childhood. There were many shows, and it's one of those, like, I didn't even remember there was a bunch of shows that were, like, canceled without a finale. Like, right. EXO Squad, I just recently watched, I don't know if you ever watched Toy Galaxy. Fucking love that channel. Mm-mm. They do like all these deep retrospectives and all the like behind the scenes and shit about TV Ooh. Shows and toys. Fucking fantastic. Couldn't recommend it more.
Maybe they do an episode on Pirates of Dark Water, which was another one of my lost. Did. Oh,
he
nice.
Did, I believe. But he just did like a newer, like an updated version for EXO Squad. And I was like, oh yeah, that's right. EXO Squad ended on this like kind of cliffhanger and there was no season 3. But that's like, cause like that happened a lot in the 90s. Like a bunch of cartoons were canceled. X-Men is the only time I remember holding on to that finale being like, what do you mean there's no more?
Right.
Like you just laid out this whole new reality, this whole new setup, and there's no more? Like it right. blew me away.
Yeah, because, okay, I just rewatched the ending of season 5. Which animation notwithstanding, because they went to the much cheaper animation. Well, yes.
Yeah, they outsourced it to a different company.
But you end with Charles going to space.
Yep.
And Magneto, like, they're in the room. And, like, Charles says his goodbyes to everybody. And it does give the impression that maybe Magneto's going to step into Charles's shoes. Yeah. And then we get this announcement today that, yep. That's exactly where we're going.
Yeah.
And it's like the Joseph Magneto, like the long hair, the purple suit, like, you know, the
well, that's
in the comics, that's the brainwash trial. Yeah.
That's the suit from the first trial. And I always remember seeing that cover in like Wizard. And I was like, what the fuck is up with this giant M? Like, it was so out of like everything else that I'd seen. I was like, what is this fucking costume about? It makes no goddamn sense.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, season 5, I mean, all of going back to anything from when we were younger always going to have some pitfalls. I mean, 100%. Today I watched the ending of season 5 because I wanted to see the very last episode that this is going to go into. Watch the ending of season 4, just because I think that's where I usually stop.
Man, if I could possibly. No, I could. I can't remember what the season, because last time I watched it, I watched it just straight through. So yeah. Like season enders, they don't indicate.
Four is death at the end, which is apocalypse and time in the whole time.
That's a great thing. Yeah. Crossover. Right. That was a great, when I was a kid, I was like, I can't wait till September. Like,
yeah. And then I watched Executioner's Song because of course Gambit and, yeah, representing the Thieves Guild.
The Teeves.
Oh my god.
I cannot wait for that shit. The funny thing is, even though they outsourced like to a bunch of different studios at the end, and like the quality was all over the place, and we got Kitty's Fairy Tale turned into Jubilee's Fairy Tale,
right?
And that was, it was fine. It was
because Jubilee was practically Kitty Pride throughout all of that. 100%. Yeah.
She was just brought forward because she was the most recent Kitty Pride. She was the most stand-in for the audience.
Child, yeah.
And
because they had just started the Young Mutants not long before that. Well, the 80s, but
yeah. Kitty had moved on to Excalibur in the 80s.
Yeah.
So they needed someone new, someone young. And then, but that last season, we got so many fucking cameos.
Yeah, right.
That I loved every moment of it because it was like all these new characters that I was finding out about in the comics because I was finally getting into the comics as well. And it was like Cannonball was in an episode, and I was like, that's fucking cool.
Yep. They brought Nightcrawler back for an episode, who now he's going to be a regular.
Dude, it's funny as hell. There was somebody on TikTok that was like, oh yeah, like here's all these characters, like they're bringing up all these new people to be on the show. And it was like Cable and Bishop and Nightcrawler. I'm like, you didn't watch the show. You didn't watch the show.
Like, the only person, the X-Men, that's going to be new is Sunspot, which is an interesting choice.
He was in the finale. He was just kind of there. Yeah. It was very much like here's a smattering of other characters in the Marvel Universe.
Right. Also interesting because they've already, I don't remember if they ever out and out said Wolfsbane's name, but she's in a lot of the fifth season or the finale of the fifth season.
Was that Wolfsbane or was that Feral?
Because that was just that, looking until somebody says a name, I wouldn't be able to tell you. Wolfsbane
was in the X Factor episode for sure because she fought Beast.
Okay, she
fighting Beast. Because they kind of like matched him up power for power.
Right, but interesting to bring Sunspot in without having any of the other Young Mutants stuff.
It would be brilliant if they just did an offshoot and did a New Mutants or something along those lines.
Right,
I would absolutely love that. Like that would just like expanding on that world, man, that would just fulfill everything from my childhood.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, they're Emma Frost and the Hellfire Club's coming back, and Sebastian Shaw, Mr. Sinister, and I love Mr. Sinister.
The name is Sinister.
Oh Mr. my god,
Sinister! That is my absolute favorite line from that show. Season, single greatest line. And then when they were talking to Bryan Cranston, and they were like, "Who would you want to play in the X-Men?" And he just said, "The name is," and I was like, "Oh shit, yes." Yep. Yes, yep. He said it so good. I was like, oh my god, yes.
I'll allow it only because Bowie's dead. David Bowie would have been the greatest Mr. Sinister because he's just exudes glam.
There was a recent indication in somebody, what was that? I forget what I was reading. So a recent comic that literally said, like, was Bowie a mutant? It would make sense.
Yeah, well, on the Sinister track, I've been reading Immortal X-Men, which is great because it's all the stuff that's happening around like the X-Men and in the X-Men universe, but through the eyes of Sinister. It's brilliant.
It's absolutely, like, this current era has been so satisfying on every level for me for X-Men. Like, the machinations and the interconnectivity, like the best shit for me always from the 90s and from the early 2000s, when it was well crafted together, when you would read X-Force and some shit would happen and you would read X-Men and it would make sense. Back then they forced you to do it.
Right.
Now it's like, if you read New Mutants, you read New Mutants. However, if you read New Mutants and X-Men, that egg they pick up comes back in X-Men, and I was like, oh my god, it's so fucking good.
Right.
Like, it's just these, it's, it becomes this community of things, not these like disparate things like connected by a letter, by a single letter. Like,
right.
X-Force, X-Factor, all these books were separate in the 90s and early 2000s, even like more so in the early 2000s, because like X-Factor was investigations, and the Grant Morrison run was just like, I'm doing something completely different.
Very.
Yeah. And it was just like everybody was kind of separating it. And then we got this, and it's just been so fucking good. Like, besides, which ironically, besides Inferno, which led into 10 Lives, 10 Deaths, and that was kind of like the least favorite part of this.
Yeah.
It just kind of felt out of nowhere. Like, oh, all of a sudden Moira's the bad guy.
I mean, yes and no, because like there were already smatterings of that sprinkled throughout Hoxpox, because she was
secretive for sure.
Yeah, she also very clearly said, I don't like precogs, do not bring Destiny back. Like, that was her whole thing. And so Destiny coming back was the catalyst.
The way that read to me, at least the way it was written, was she seemed like she was afraid of people finding out that they always lose, and
right,
thus like would have to deal with the chaos of that instead of being able to have the necessary time to figure out how to win. That's right. How I read it. I read it like, oh, like she's just trying to like not fucking have to deal with internal strife and just have time to plan it out. And that's why she's in the fucking little pod underneath. But
no. But then you find out that is not the case. And
she's just like, fuck it.
Well, first of all, lesbian love wins out because Mystique is able to, bring her love back, which is fantastic because it also solidifies that relationship all the way back in the 80s, which is
great. And I wouldn't even say lesbian. I would say Mystique for sure is just poly. Mystique,
well, that's true. Yes.
Has had everyone and everything by now.
Right. Yes. Ah,
damn it. It's twice.
Knock over your camera.
Seriously.
But yeah, it's have you read AXE yet? Just dropped on Wednesday. The first issue.
Yeah, and that was a lot, bro. I didn't know if I would like it,
but I do like it.
I was really hoping it wasn't going to be Avengers vs. X-Men.
Yeah.
Because Avengers vs. X-Men upset me in that, which I haven't. Like, I haven't. It's actually on that show. But, like, it upsets me because it is this, like, here, the X-Men get all this power, and they do all this good shit with it. And you're like, fuck, they just let them fucking do it. Like, and even the humans were like, look what happened when you just let them be and they got power. They just fix shit. And I was like, we just need to let these motherfuckers do their shit.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, like a little petty bullshit grows up into like big ass bullshit. And now it's, I got to kill the other ones to collect more power. And it just like, I didn't like how it teetered. Like, for me, it just kind of teetered off at the end.
It reminded me a lot why people didn't like the last season of Game of Thrones, because the idea there. Okay, well then.
No, I don't care.
The idea there at the end is that absolute power corrupts absolutely. Same with Avengers versus X-Men.
Oh yeah.
However, the way you, in order to successfully do the absolute power corrupts absolutely, you have to do tiny steps of corruption to start to show, and then you can snowball a little bit, but you can't just go from, well, now I need your power, like, it can't just go to a snap decision.
Yeah.
And in Game of Thrones, there were tiny seeds that were kind of like, this family has a problem with mental health. And when they get into positions of power, it generally doesn't go well for everyone. But again, with a character, they just all of a sudden are like, and then she snaps. And I'm like, no, I needed throughout this season little pieces where power was being abused, or, the morality starts to slip a little bit. Yeah. Same thing in Avengers versus X-Men. All of a sudden, it's just like, well, guess I need more power now. Suck it out of my pal. And I'm like, no, I needed at least another little bit back and forth.
Like, if I had written that, if they were like, hey, we have this idea, I'd be like, all right, we need to do this over a year. This is a year project. We're going to have a mini crossover at the beginning. That's where they get their powers. And then like all this good shit is going to happen. But then we're going to have these like little moments, questions, and then that's going to build into the big crossover.
Yeah.
Like, it can't just be, oh, like, we're going to do it in 6 issues. And then fuck everything else.
Right. I mean, if you're gonna go that way, then you go the Injustice route. You have a large event happen. You have them just make a decision that then they start to very quickly move down that. But there was no even big event other than them getting the Phoenix Force that was like, okay, and now they're starting to act differently. No, they were acting pretty much the same and giving back to humanity until a certain moment, and then just bam.
Right.
You know, so either make get, we actually just talked about this on my graphically novel episode today about all of the similarities between comic books and wrestling. If you're going to do a heel turn, you're going to do a slow burn heel turn, or you're going to do a heel turn like that shocks, you know, it, but either way, you got to have a story behind it. You can't just heel turn for a heel turn's sake.
Yeah. Yeah, it's absolutely it, you gotta be, it's gotta be logical, right? It's gotta just make sense. Right. And that's why I currently like this current era feels better in the X-Men. Like things are being developed slowly, and it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like we're giving, but it's like the curse of solicitation, right? Like we know that there's gonna be an issue 6 or whatever, or issue 8 Judgment Day. We right. know that they literally in Free Comic Book Day they showed us stupid fucking Ben Reilly evil guy. God, I fucking I was so mad about that. I was like, Ben Reilly's back, and then they're like, now he's evil again, and I was like, fuck you.
Oh, I was at fuck you from Ben Reilly's back.
I will brook no slander against Ben Reilly. Ben Reilly is my Spider-Man. Ben Reilly was Spider-Man when I picked up comic books. My first comic book was a Ben Reilly Spider-Man comic book.
You are a subset of a subset, my friend.
I will brook no slander. Everything that it took for him to get there and be there, I will accept it.
You came in when I bounced out.
Regardless of how convoluted it was, I read it. It was like 2 issues after I started reading it. I was like, Peter's a clone? What?
Have you ever seen or read the comic 1001 Ways to End the Clone Saga?
Yes.
Writers in the Marvel room were just like, let's just spitball how we can stop this thing. And my favorite was they're just like walking out of a movie theater with Peter, MJ, and Ben. And they're like, okay, Ben, have a good day. Ben's like, okay. And just disintegrates. And MJ's like, Peter, are you sure you were the clone?
It was wild. It was fucking wild. And it upsets me because the ramifications of Ben Reilly dying and like him being his brother and all of these things were so integral to Peter's development over the next couple of years that when they brought him back and he was the fucking jackal of all things, that pissed me the fuck off. I was so mad about that.
Have you been following Spider-Man then, and you know why he is now evil Ben again?
Yeah, it's dumb. Like I haven't read it yet. I was skimming through it, and I saw it all happen. Got the stupid new fucking suit, but then they showed him and Goblin Queen. So now, like it's like I know what happens now with the things that they're building up with Madeline taking over Limbo. Like we know it goes bad. So it's like it's not quite as good if you just give us this solicitation. And that's the thing that I was that was like, that's actually like an idea I had to do like a whole episode on, is the problem that people have with Marvel films is the inverse problem we have in comics. Imagine if at the end of Hulk was in 91, they sent him off into space and you didn't know what was coming next.
Right.
And you wouldn't get it for 3 years. Like if you didn't know there was going to be a Planet Hulk, you didn't know there was going to be a World War Hulk. All that shit was years out, and you had no solicitation. It was just like they sent him off into space, and now we have a Marvel universe without a Hulk. And you just be like, "What the fuck?" And that's to me, that's what happened at the end of Multiverse of Madness. Like she died, but I'm like, nah, that's not what happened.
Yeah.
And I've got 3 or 4 ways she could have come out of it. I'm gonna see how they want to do it. Because it's like, this isn't the end, because that's not how you finish off that character.
Right. Well, also, she's a reality warper, so, you know.
Right. It could have been just a subconscious savior ass. It could have been, or you could have just literally been like, the demon's like, nope, still need you.
Right.
Protective bubble, teleports her out, done. Like, there's so many ways to get her out of that scenario. It's crazy.
Yeah, I a lot of in actually another conversation we had today, there were audible gasps in the this is a story that Leia Cameron was telling us. There were audible gasps when she was at Winter Soldier when the reveal happens that it's Bucky Barnes. Like, there were people in the theater who had no knowledge of comics.
Right.
And so they were reacting that way. And you're right. You know, going into the theater, I thought about that. I'm like, God damn, I was jaded because, you know, when we were coming up in comics, there was a phrase called Bucky Dead. And there were two people in the Marvel universe that never came back from Marvel, the dead.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah, the golden rule in comics was
right.
Bucky stays dead, Jason Todd stays dead, and Uncle Ben stays dead.
Uncle Ben stays dead. You're right. And two of those three have come back now.
Yeah. There's a meme going around. People are doing different variations of it, but it's like Uncle Ben being like, what the fuck is going on? When's my turn?
Uncle Gwen.
Yeah, at this point, right?
Right, absolutely.
There's a Gwen everything.
There's a Gwen everything. So Uncle Gwen is, you heard it here first. Marvel, hire us. We'll write your Uncle Gwen.
But you know my requirements, Marvel. Guaranteed payout, cameo in a film, and credit at the end. Don't play
me. There you
go. I was just debating about this. Dude, let me restart this. Do you pay for Zoom?
Yeah.
That's the difference. Yeah. They turn the fucking 40-minute timer back on. Let me restart this thing.
Okay.
Come on.
Hey, and we're back.
I was trying to test Skype because I found out that Skype can do recording. I was trying to test that earlier, but my buddy's like, apparently I don't have Skype. And I was like, what do you mean you're on Skype? It pre-installs. He's like, oh, I uninstall everything I don't use. And I was like, oh, well then.
Well, yeah. Yeah, the other thing that you need to remember with Zoom is to go into your settings and they have an automatic background filter. Turn that shit off. It will screw your editing.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about that, like, for background noise? Yeah, it's garbage.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, it is not good. Not good.
I got to take some notes from you because I've been trying to figure out. We always end up having these, like, weird audio issues when we record in-house here.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to figure out, like, ways to clean up the background and shit, but never quite worked.
Seven seasons, the two big things that I've worked with my partners on, and guests not so much, but definitely the two co-hosts that I have on all the time, instead of your instead of your words that you're using while you're finding other words, yeah. Silence, because truncate silence in Audacity is gold. Because instead of sitting here with the silence while I'm thinking, it immediately goes to what I'm saying because I'm so smart. I know exactly what I'm talking about.
I do that manually with, like, when I do short videos, but it's like, yeah, when I do a 2-3 hour podcast, I do not have the patience for that shit.
Nope. You just select all, truncate silence, and boom, move it all down to 0.5 seconds. And so anything more than 0.5 seconds will get reduced to 0.5 seconds. And yeah, you'll also watch your 3-hour podcast go down to 2 hours and 30 minutes.
There is so much, right?
Yeah.
Right. There's just like,
Yeah. Well, and that's the other thing is I used to go through and edit all of those out. And so a hour long podcast was a 4-hour long edit. And I just taught all of my people to just don't talk. Just be silent, and right, that works a lot better.
That has been the single greatest change I've made in my regular videos, but in podcasts I don't think about it. In podcasts I just spew. Yeah. I just go because it's all off the top, so I'm not even considering, you know, little phrases and stuff like that. And that's why, like, I started taking notes. I have a whole big ass notepad of all the stuff I want to do podcast episodes on, because if I don't put it in the pot, like, in a note, I'm just going to, like, look at a title and be like, all right, cool, I'll do an episode about this. And I'm like, the fuck does this mean?
Right.
I got one of those. There's one in that list that I put on the list a long time ago, but I didn't put any details on it. I was just like, do an episode about this. And I was like, yeah, but, like, in what context? Like, what does that mean?
Yeah. See, you hit me up 3 hours before we started this to be like, hey, you want to do this today? And so I spent that 3 hours like watching some stuff and writing down notes. So I knew kind of what I wanted to make sure to hit marks. But at the same time, you do your podcast the same way I do mine. It's very free form and very, we're just having a conversation. So if we stray to other shit, that's fine.
I had a debate on the last episode. I say debate because it was basically like me making points, the other person just trying to basically gotcha me into being wrong instead of just like presenting counterpoints.
Was it about Ben Reilly? Because you're just wrong about Ben Reilly.
First of all, no, I'm not, sir. I'm not wrong about Ben Reilly. Ben Reilly is a national treasure. No, man, I, you know,
it's Ben a national Reilly treasure without Nick Cage is what it is.
Dude, I hope with every essence of my being that those rumors are true, that they're making another movie.
They're releasing the show.
There's supposed to be a show. And then they were saying that there was also going to be a movie. And I was like, I really fucking hope that's true. Because
I really enjoy them.
I loved them.
Yeah.
I loved them. It was dumb. You know what it reminded me of? Like the Goonies.
Yeah.
Just like a bunch of dumb adventure shit looking for something that like ultimately isn't that important.
I'll put Thor Love and Thunder into that. Did I think it was the most perfect Marvel movie? No, that's Winter Soldier. But did I just have fun? Is it a movie that if I just want to turn my brain off and on a Sunday I'll put on in the background? Hell yeah, it's probably one of the first ones I'll put on because it was just wacky and fun. You know,
I figured it was going to be like that when in the trailer they showed him getting disrobed.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, okay. So we're going like a little extra with the comedy. Cool. Right. I think Ragnarok was really good. The comedy level of Ragnarok was great. There was definitely, like, it was definitely by far the best Thor movie.
Yeah,
I have not seen Love and Thunder yet. That's probably going to be a next week thing. We try to wait a week or two after release to avoid the crowds.
Sure. Yeah. No, I understand.
But
I went and saw it because it was like the week after was my birthday. And
oh, nice. Happy birthday.
Yeah. So thank you. So I was just like, oh, well, I'm going to go because I took the week off. So I'm going to go and see Thor in the middle of the week when there won't be a ton of people in there.
Exactly. We try to do that with something recently. And then we like went on a, it was a Sunday, but it was like weeks after it had come out, but it was full. It was like almost a full theater. And we were like, what the hell? And then as we were like looking at it, we were like, oh, it's July 4th weekend.
Oh, okay.
Everyone has a 3-day weekend. So they're just digging out. I'm like, oh, that's
fine. Yep. Don't have to go to school or work tomorrow. So
I think that might've been multiverse. Yeah. I think that
would make sense. That would make sense.
That was
good. Which is weird because it was out on Disney Plus by that point.
Yeah, but that's not what it was. It wasn't multiverse. It was the other multiverse movie. Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Oh my god, what a great movie.
What a ridiculously great movie. So fucking funny. Dude, fucking awards. When they set that up at the beginning, I was like, that's a weird looking award.
Yeah.
Like, why would they make awards that look like this? And then when it came back around, I was like, wow.
Yep. No, what a great creative. More movies like that, please. Because I know they had to fight to have that one made. Because it was not your typical movie by any means. But I have yet to hear anybody, nor would I want to, that's like, I didn't like that movie.
Yeah. I think I've seen only positive reviews. I mean, and that might be just, you know, because of my own little echo chamber, but like I think for the most part it's been an honest accounting of what's going on.
Well, definitely hit me up after you watch Thor Love and Thunder. I'd love to hear what you think. Because again, I think this version or this area of Marvel, this phase even, of the movies, not specifically the TV shows, which are separated for me right now, is giving a lot more to the director. And the reason I say that is Thor Love and Thunder was one of the most Taika Waititi movies I have ever seen in my life. And Doctor Strange 2 was the most Sam Raimi thing, and I'm including Evil Dead, I have ever seen in my life.
And I think that's I think that's kind of where the MCU will be going. I think we will, as viewers, I think we may, I don't want to say we will, I'm saying we may suffer for it as far as like interconnectivity and how things
agreed
together. And I just mean like thematically and visually, like certain things, like it's almost like when you read, I mean, it really it's turning into the comics as far as like the presentation, right? You're sure. Getting a different art team and a different writing team doing the book. Like, yeah, this is Ms. Marvel, but it's like, it ties into Civil War II. I know it's a terrible example, but
right,
like,
right. No, but
it's part of Civil War II. Like it's part of this bigger thing that's happening.
Right.
Like you see it through this lens, through this art style. And it's like when Captain Marvel shows up in Ms. Marvel during that time, she looks the way she does in the Ms. Marvel book. And it doesn't necessarily need to look like what it looks like in the other movies or whatever, you know,
right. So
like or show comics. But like, I think that's what's going to happen. I think what we're going to see is a lot of different takes, and it's going to, I feel like it's probably going to take a little bit longer for new fans and the layman to like catch up.
I'm curious if that actually started back with Age of Ultron, because there was probably the most Marvel interference, or at least that Whedon blames on Marvel interference with that.
It's hard to give anything any words out of his face credit at this point.
I agree. But then you go to the Russos picking it up, and the Russos, you know, put their own spin on it, which is a very action movie based with a little bit of relationship stuff, but not a ton. And then you get into Gunn, who James Gunn starts to work on the Guardians movies. And whether it's Guardians of the Galaxy or Peacemaker or whatever, you can look at that and be like, that's James Gunn. And it was such a mega impact to Marvel Studios, especially the first two Guardians movies, that it seems like for offshoot stuff, Doctor Strange and Thor, they're giving a little bit more, because Ragnarok, I remember, was, it had Taika Waititi's, it had Taika Waititi's stamp on it, but there were certain parts that, like most of the hella parts, I'm like, I don't really buy that this was a Taika Waititi, because she's always very serious and never, like, even the other
she had some
villains,
it wasn't like
right.
It wasn't as intense of a comedic element as it was elsewhere.
Right. And so now we're seeing a lot more of that. And I agree with you. I think it's going to be more, they know their audience, or at least they know who knows their product is the comic book readers. So they're going to give it to certain directors that work with certain actors. And, you know, the Bruce Campbell cameo in Doctor Strange 2, you knew it was coming. You were just wondering how, you know? So that kind of thing just makes it that director. It might get to a point, same with comics, if I see a certain writer or a certain artist, I'm like, I probably won't pick up that book. I know their work. I know what they do. I know what they bring to the table, you know? I probably won't pick up that book right away. If somebody comes to me later and is like, no, it's unlike everything they've ever done. On the same side of that, if Kieran Gillen's writing something, I'm picking that book up, you know?
See, that I was just talking about this on TikTok. I literally don't feel that way about any singular creator.
Really?
Like
I have a list.
Movies or comics. Yeah. Like there is no, I mean, Whedon now, like I feel weird. Actively like consuming stuff that he worked on, especially through legitimate means, because he's gonna get a cut, like he's gonna get a payout for that, you know, like when certain things replay or whatever,
right?
And it's like, do I want to support him after his apparent decades of being a jagoff?
Right. Absolutely.
So there's that, but I think beyond that, as far as like, oh, this person is doing a movie, I like Sam Raimi for the four things I've seen, the three Spider-Man movies and the Doctor Strange. I like what he does. I see the like horror elements that he brings in. I, for instance, did not like the fact that he, and I again, it's kind of like how much input did he have on the writing of the film, but like he changed her motivation from the end of WandaVision, just flat out changed it. Because the end of WandaVision, she was hearing them be in trouble, not hearing them live happy, normal lives elsewhere.
Yes. And I think there is a little bit that we're missing. And I think it goes back to our absolute power corrupts absolutely discussion. Because there is a period of time between her starting to work with the Darkhold at the end of WandaVision and the beginning of Doctor Strange, where the Darkhold is starting to influence her. And yes, I agree with you. We need that. We need at least a little bit of give me a montage or whatever, but have her working and just start to make these decisions. Watch, show me the forest dying around her and then her using her magic to make it look alive again. Like, show me any of that.
Yeah.
Because that's what that was supposed to be. The
like you said earlier, I need to know the story behind the heel turn.
Right. I need the heel turn to mean something. So either she attacks him right away when he shows up and is like, you're here for the Darkhold. The Darkhold is mine. Like, you know, which I'm not saying that that's a good, I'm saying it's better than the motivations that she had.
Yeah.
You know, she linked it to, I need to find my kids. What she should have also done was at the same time, I need the Darkhold. The Darkhold needs to be with me at all times. The Darkhold, you know, I need to be in physical contact with it. Make it like Gollum in the Ring. You know, if you really want to do that.
I think they're afraid of involving, because I think the only way, I think story-wise, the only way to fix that sort of, I don't want to call it a plot hole, but inconsistency is to bring in the demon K'thon.
Yes.
And you say K'thon planted the idea that her kids were out there somewhere in trouble. And over time, it didn't matter that if they were in trouble or not. So he just like let go of that because she was already seduced by the power.
Yes.
And you give me those little things in the next time we inevitably see her. Give me that as like a, during the opening credits, you see this like flashback and then it's like you, and then we open and like we finish that flashback. And then we see a cut of the finale of Doctor Strange where the thing's crashing. And then you see just like a little flicker of red through the rubble. And then the next shot you see is her in a dungeon somewhere or whatever. And then take us into whatever the story is.
Yeah, because we also never found out how she knew about America in the first place.
It was in the book. Presumably in the book because it was in the... Book of Ashanti, so presumably it was in the Darkhold as well,
right? But they never out and out, you know, explain
that. And that's the problem, right?
And so that's the thing,
headcanon it if we need to figure it out. Like, it's like if I have to do the math on the joke, it's not a funny joke,
right? Also, you're gonna have people that do the headcanon the way that you were intending it to be, and you're gonna have people that do the headcanon and say, well, that was dumb,
yep,
because it doesn't make any sense. And that's because your headcanon is not where. So yes, you do need step one to step two. There are definitely times where it's good to fill in the blanks yourself. Old Universal monster movies are the scariest shit ever because they would get to a point and cut. And you would have to fill in the rest of it just yourself. And you're going to put the scariest shit you can think of because you're thinking of it.
I was just watching an interview with the director of Nope, I forget his damn name.
Oh, Jordan Peele.
Jordan Peele. He was saying that Blair Witch is a terrifying movie, but nothing fucking happens.
Yes.
Most of the movie happens in your fucking head.
Well, and Blair Witch was terrifying because social media was so new.
Yeah.
And the idea of, you know, what is, how can you trick people? You know, what we call a work in the wrestling side of things, you know. And there, the reason I was scared of Blair Witch is on Sci-Fi, the Sci-Fi channel, there was a documentary about how these kids went missing and how they found the footage and how they put together the movie, which was the whole backstory that you have in the back of your mind as you're watching Blair Witch.
Yep.
My wife knew it was fake going into it, you know, and said, I can't stand Blair Witch. I don't understand. Nothing ever happens. You're right, because you also did not have that even question of people are saying this was real and it was found footage, right? And it was, you know, and that's why I generally am not scared of found footage stuff unless it really takes that psychological bent to it.
Right.
But yes, that's my example, is there are times for that. Scares are great times for that. But then there are other things like motivations of characters that you really do need to lay some breadcrumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
So yes, I agree. Definitely have, like, the kids are in trouble. She uses the Darkhold, but then you see that the Darkhold now has her.
Right.
And it doesn't need, like, that initial giving of her will to open the book and start reading the book is all it needed to start putting claws into her. And that's why by the time this starts, she's just like, I just need my children. I'm going to go and take someone else's, you know, some other universe's
right.
versions of my children. And then, yes, I'm going to keep them safe. And of course I'm going to keep the power, you know, because that's even further in the movie when Strange is like, okay, but you don't have to kill her. Like, she could just take you somewhere. And she's like, no, what if they get sick? What if they, and that seems to come out of nowhere too. And very out of character. I read that as that, again, the Darkhold's influence, because when Steven says that in her ear, you know, even like a whisper or something would have been good, because in her ear is K'thon.
That would have been perfect. Do right. the thing that she did to the Avengers. Just have like a little, just like a whisper. Just a whisper.
Have basically K'thon in her ear being like, but what if they get sick? You don't know every disease. You don't know what all.
That's what I'm saying. That's how they fix it. That's how they fix that hole in a future project, whatever that project may be. Like. Right. I really wanted this to be like the Kirby multiverse of madness. Like the thing we saw at the beginning and the thing we saw right at the mid credit scene or whatever you would call it, where he jumps in with Charlize Theron.
Yeah.
That's what I thought we were going to see. The like crazy fucking pathways everywhere, like old school Kirby interdimensional travel. That's what I really wanted this movie to be. And then we got a multiverse of kind of madness. Like we got like an egotistical universe.
Well, I mean, you really
jump through for a few seconds.
Right. You really spent time in good amount of time in three different universes. Yeah.
If I had written it, the way I would have done it is instead of facing the fucking Illuminati, which was, I think, a waste. I think that was a complete waste.
Bunch of fan service for sure.
Yeah, but you could have done the exact same amount of fan service if he just stops in the X-Men universe, stops in a universe where the Inhumans are, and then you just canonize all the shows and say they're different universes, and then you don't have to answer fucking questions from now to infinity of is Agents of Ultron or is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. fucking canon?
Right. You just
hop skip through all of them. Done. Right. Fixed. Yeah. Resolved. Like it was such an easy thing that I thought. And then when it was like, oh, the Illuminati is all of the most powerful people. And then it's like, oh, in some universe,
Michelle Rambeau. Yeah.
Michelle. Yeah.
So Monica. I'm sorry. Monica Rambeau.
Well, Monica's the kid.
Yeah. And that's her. That's Spectrum. No. You're right.
Yeah,
it was Michelle Rambeau.
That was the mom.
Yep. You're right.
So it's like, in one universe, Michelle got the powers. And it's like, well, cool. But like, I kind of want to know what that story is. So
right.
Like, I have questions about that. Like, can that be an episode of What If? Like, if you're going to feed me this, like, multiverse of, like, other shit, I kind of want to see what it is. So, like, I hope that these two, they showed a trailer for season two and then announced season three already of What If. I hope that, like, hey, this, like, paint universe and all these other universes, like, some of those universes were wild looking. All the little, like, 2-minute sequence where they jump through a bunch of shit. Give me those universes. Give me the universe of Stark robots running shit. What is that about?
Right?
Give me some context. Like, I think that there's a lot of, I mean, like, it's Marvel, right? There is infinite fucking potential as to what they could do. It's
And
certain stories need to be told, I feel like, better.
And speaking of Comic-Con announcements, did you see some of the stuff that they already said for What If?
No.
We're gonna get the next part of Captain Carter. So her versus the Iron Stomper, which will basically be the Steve version of Winter Soldier to the Captain Carter. We're going to get 1602.
That's cool.
In What If, which is awesome. It's one of my favorite books.
That's the kind of thing that a friend of mine and I have been talking that both the Marvel Universe, but more so even the Star Wars Universe, need to just become a setting. And then you could do different genre films in those things, and different genres can be done. Like, instead of having to follow the fucking 12 existing characters that are in Star Wars, or, you know, the 30, 40 or whatever in the MCU, we could have a 1602. Like, this is MCU adjacent, but this is a world where XYZ happened. And, you know, like, now that we have the multiverse, and they did, there was some leakage about like some titles and movie titles that were registered. So like the multiverse saga, cool. Like, give me, like, at this point, in my opinion, they have full rights to just do what they did with the Joker. Just make a movie that has nothing to do with all the other movies.
Right.
It's a standalone. And like a 1602, that would be cool.
Yeah. No, give me.
See it, but it's right there.
Give me Age of Apocalypse.
Oh my God, please. Dude, did you see Wolverine and the X-Men, the cartoon?
Oh, yeah.
When they teased that at the end of season one,
yeah,
I about shit myself. Oh my God, the fact that they canceled that show. The script exists for the first episode. There's a guy I've been following for years. He does a bunch of art. He's really good. He's kind of like Roger Cruz and Joe Mad kind of smashed together.
Okay.
Like modern Roger Cruz, because back in like the 90s, Roger Cruz just was a light version of Joe Mad, because he copied a bunch of his shit and I thought it was hilarious. But like, he fucking shared the script, and I was like, I can't bring myself to fucking read it because I would want to fucking watch it. Spider-Man Unlimited. I want Spider-Man Unlimited season 2. God damn it. That product Bible still exists. I still want to see that. What happens to the fucking the animal people of Earth 2?
I mean, and it's going back to X-Men 97. It's like, we have so many stories that they told that it really was an introduction. Like, I was reading comics, but the X-Men cartoon introduced me to a lot of these stories for the first time. For sure. You know, Phoenix, Dark Phoenix, Days of Future Past, The Mutant Massacre, kinda. Fall of Mutants, Muir Island Saga, Phalanx even showed up in there. But now they have, like, you know, going forward, like, can you imagine the new season dealing with the legacy virus? That would be cool. Right?
I don't think they will, because that was a very apparent
it was an analog to AIDS. Yeah,
retrospectively it was. I am and have always been a very surface level reader. So like, I didn't get that during the time that the legacy virus happened. Somebody pointed out to me and I was like, oh well, yeah, of course. So obviously it was an analog for AIDS. But like, I didn't get that while I was reading it. But it was I think that's like an era that's past, which is a weird thing to say.
See, no, I get that, but here's what I was thinking of earlier, because I have three categories. I have storylines that they did, storylines that they could do, and storylines that wouldn't make any sense. And pretty much anything House of M on doesn't make sense.
You got to set up so much for that.
Yeah, with the exception of Schism. The generally the idea of Scott and Logan not agreeing on which direction to take the kids, and Logan saying they should be kids and Scott saying they were born soldiers.
If they bring kids into the school, absolutely.
Yes, you can do that without all of the House of M stuff. But man, like, every House of M has kind of defined most of the major X-Men storylines since it happened. Because you have all the stuff with Hope, and you have all the stuff with the Schism, and then you have all the, you know, Avengers versus X-Men. And then you know, going all the way to like House of X, Powers of X is kind of the first major storyline to kind of move past that House of M,
and shadow. And they've fixed it since.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. And then AXE is going to destroy that again, because the secret of their resurrection.
If they take away resurrection, I look, it's gonna have to be. I am a diehard X-Men fan. I have read some of the worst X-Men stories, and
yes, been
like, it is still X-Men, and I will still read it. They have built this era up so well. I don't know if I will be able to continue earnestly reading X-Men if they take away Resurrection.
Really?
I need you to understand, I was not born, let alone reading comics, when Thunderbird died.
Sure.
But the death of Thunderbird was such a motivating factor for so many people. It was such a mainstay and a building block of who the X-Men were, that when he was resurrected, I openly wept. I didn't even know that I cared that much, but I straight up wept. And to think that they could fuck that up, because there are so many other people that you could do that for, that fucked me up. That would genuinely fuck me up, because it is this, the whole fucking thing. And it's literally, it's the same fucking problem they've had with the Hulk. You give the Hulk what he wants, to just be fucking left alone.
Right.
And he fucking thrives. Then you blow his shit up, and he comes and shits all over your fucking house.
Right. Yep.
Because, not because he's a fucking asshole, because you blew his shit up. Well,
right.
Kind of. But like,
one of his followers really blew his shit up and then blamed it on the people that threw him off planet in the first place. But yes, I understand what you're saying.
So like, if you give, like, the X-Men are doing great shit. Yes. Is there scheming and shit? Of course. Emma Frost is involved. Of course there's fucking scheming.
Mr. Sinister and Emma Frost are in the same general area.
Of course there's fucking scheming and all that shit. But like, the fact is, they are doing well. We are not having these bullshit fucking interior battles of, oh, what are we going to do with the kids? The kids have a whole learning annex. They can go fucking learn. They have the opportunity. We have literally hundreds of thousands of teachers. Just learn whatever the fuck you want to learn. Like, it's so good. But just like with everything, when someone has some shit and has some shit over you, because like, oh, they've got the medicines there, but like, what does that mean?
Right.
When they ask, you want to fucking get one over on them. That's just,
well, that's how AXE starts. Is, you know, it's Cyclops has gone out and been like, yeah, we can resurrect ourselves, and no, we won't do it for you. And the world went,
well, it's not that they won't, it's that they can't.
Well, yes.
They don't have the ability to. And it's like, could they? Yeah. Is this just cloning? Basically.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
It's funny, because there were people who were fighting with me. Because after the first, like, because when the first couple issues came in, it was like, what the fuck's going on, right? And somebody was like, oh, what do you think? They're just going to be, like, cloning X-Men, and everyone's going to be okay with that? I was like, why shouldn't they fucking be? Yeah, they should absolutely be able to clone themselves back to life. How many fucking people, how many of their friends and family members have died? Of course the X-Men are going to fucking take cloning. Are you joking? And then when they explained it, I was like, that's even better than cloning. That's a cloned body without its own thoughts and memories and all this other shit. And you just copy your ass into it. This is as good as a robot body idea I ever had. I want to do is have a robot body and live forever. I would absolutely take Mutant Resurrection the way it's written. Fuck yeah. All I gotta do is fight a dude and die, and I'll come back in my mutant body. Easy, fight me. Like,
well, and it's also starting to explore the psychology of that, right? I can't remember which of all the series that I've been reading. I think it might be Hellions.
There are so many
where the younger kids are like, we don't fear death, and they're like going into missions and being like, you know, jumping in and dying and then being like, well, I know I'm gonna come back, so you know, why should I care? And that is concerning, you know.
And that's why I like way of, and that's like, they brought up all these points and all these conflicting ideas and concerning ideas, but then they have books and characters that are really directly addressing them, like Kurt being like, you don't just throw it away because you can get it back. Like, the whole point is to maintain that relationship. Like Storm not being resurrected when she was infected, that was so powerful. So powerful. She's like, no, we're gonna figure this out. Let's come, like, just because we can doesn't mean we right. should for every problem.
Right. Yep.
That shit was like, it's like I said, it's written so fucking well. I don't like hero versus hero crossovers. So like by its nature, I like don't, and it's like they fucking blew up Araco. And I was like, the fuck? Like I turned the page and I was like, bro, what the fuck? But also like there was a Planet of Warriors. How fucking badass is this dude? How yeah. much of a hardcore, just like nuclear option is this guy? And then on the other side of it is like the Eternals are so fucking fourth tier, it's hard for me to care.
I agree.
Like I learned about the Eternals through Cersei, and that's how I say it. That's the funny thing. When I was watching the movie, every time they would say her name, I was like, why are they saying it wrong? Because all I ever did was read it. And to me, it reads Cersei.
Cersei, yeah.
But they said Cersei. I'm like, that makes perfect sense logically. Still sounds wrong to my ear.
Right.
But like Cersei being on the Avengers and being like the whole Gan Jossen storyline with the Black Knight and all this shit, which funny enough, that's how I started reading about the Eternals. And I didn't know who that dude was until halfway through the movie. And I was like, oh, fucking Dane Whitman. Of course it is. Like, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, my only introduction to the Eternals was the story that Gaiman wrote.
And like, that's the thing. It's like,
and that's after, it.
Right before Onslaught, Cersei suddenly conveniently disappears off the team.
Right.
And then Onslaught happens. And then literally, we just never deal with the Eternals for a decade.
Yeah.
Like, from 96 till 2006, 2007, during Civil right. War, they did the Eternal storyline. And it was like, hey, you need to register. And she was like,
I don't think we do.
You're a funny man, Tony Stark, and just walks away.
Yeah. Yeah. No, we don't.
And then it was like, oh, they were just like, they just forgot who they were. So then they like rebooted their memories. And now with this whole new thing with, I don't know if you've read the new series, I've kind of glanced through it.
No, I have not.
The premise currently, and they like reveal this pretty early on, I think like first or second issue, when they die and resurrect, it costs a human life.
Huh.
And I was like, that's a weird new take. All right, fine. But that's why there's a division within the Eternal community, because like some of them are just like not cool with that. Whereas, you know, Druig, because of course Druig,
right,
is like, I'm pretty cool with that. And now Druig is the fucking Eternal Prime.
Right. And he's pushing the whole agenda that mutants are deviants or offshoots of deviants.
It was, but it seemed like in one of the Eternals issues, somebody like whispered it in his ear. Something like that. It was like either the computer or something whispered it in his ear. And I didn't catch this. I mean, I caught the difference, but my buddy was like, I think the new narrator is the new machine that will eventually end up on Araco, because they're probably going to bring the Celestials to pass judgment on Araco, and it's going to get its own machine, because the text is red, whereas in the Eve of Judgment it was blue for the Earth machine. And I was like, oh, I'm like, I caught the difference in color, but I was like, oh, people color shit wrong all the time, so I just moved on.
Right.
But I was like, and as soon as he said that, I was like, it says like, I want to know you, I like want to learn about you. And I was like, oh, I could see that. So we'll see. It's going to be, I'm interested. I'm always interested in the X-Men story, whichever form it takes, but I just don't like hero versus hero shit. Like, I want a villain. And because we've made heroes out of all the mutants, basically, everyone's a good guy, you know, barring a few here and there. Like, right. I wanted the story that was being built up, like the Mikhail Russia story, which is kind of ironic at this point, real life, but like, yeah. The like Russia is the antagonist. The like, I don't know if you've read everything recent, but like
not everything. No,
it was a couple issues, but Mikhail has his hands on some dude who narrates Colossus's life without his understanding. So it's such a weird concept as a power, but he writes like a story, but that story is exactly what Colossus does without knowledge, like without concept of what he's doing. And he's like, I can't make him do anything fucking wild, crazy, because like he would notice that he's doing shit that doesn't make sense. But like I can kind of nudge him in ways. And that's how he ends up, like when he joins the council. That's kind of like the big dramatic moment was when he enters. It was like an issue that came out the same month or the previous month where you found that out. It was like, oh shit. Cause the whole thing was like, we need someone we can trust. And they brought him in. I was like, oh, he's a spy. He's the guy on the inside. So that's why I thought it was building up to this Russia thing. I thought this was going to be building up to whatever they're going to be doing, but that's, I don't know if that's like the long play, but it's like, right. They can't destroy resurrection if they're still planning on doing that story, or they're just gonna toss that entire storyline, which would be weird.
Well, yeah, but not the first time.
What are you talking about? We just got confirmation. I know it's 24 years later, 44 years later, whatever the fuck it was, but we just got confirmation that Adam X is the fourth Summers brother.
Oh my god.
Dude, I'm friends with motherfucking Fabian on Facebook, so I just like throw questions at him once in a while. The shit is fucking hilarious. Like I asked him about the whole the finale of Joseph and the Magneto War, and he's like, I had nothing to do with that. Like, he like wrote the words but had nothing to do with the plot, you know, like that kind of shit. Because when they fucking said, oh, Joseph's a clone, I was like, a fucking clone. I was so mad about it.
Oh, I'm getting a warning. Less than 1 minute.
Hold on. Let me relaunch it. God damn it. See, that's what I was trying to test earlier. Like, but I couldn't even test. It's weird. Skype won't let you start recording unless someone's in the call. So I was trying to get someone who was like free. I'm like, oh, is anybody free? I literally sent a message to my sister who's in fucking Serbia. They're like, hey, what you doing right now? Like, I need some help. She's like, oh, I'm at a friend's. I'm like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, no, we pay the $16 because we also will use Zoom for family. We'll just use it all the time. So, but the show, we started doing Zoom because of the pandemic.
Sure.
And it's just been invaluable, like, because I've learned, like, A, save to the cloud because I had hard drive fail. And fortunately only lost one episode out of two shows. So
that's pretty solid.
Yeah. I lost a Ret Conversations episode where we went through All-Star Superman, which may be the most piece of shit thing I've ever read and had to explain.
What?
The solution to Superman is not make him more invulnerable. It was
You just trash. Said that, and it's gonna be on the internet.
It was trash, hard trash.
I need you to understand that is the single solitary most recommended Superman book on TikTok.
I know, I understand that, and it's trash.
Wow.
Speaking of problematic people, when we were talking about Joss Whedon, American Alien is better, written by a problematic person, but I would recommend American Alien way before All-Star Superman.
If you liked American Alien, there's a video where he was basically interviewed, not even interviewed. They were like, how would you write the next, like, what's the plot?
No, I've watched that. Yeah.
Okay. Which is funny. I watched that, but I didn't read the first one. I don't know. It's like, here's the thing. Aside, like, look, I will brook no fucking apologies for anybody who's done anything, like, physically, if they've touched somebody, if they've been fucking harassing, none of it. Get the fuck off my planet. Like, I'm not one of those people. If the shit you said on TikTok or Twitter, or if you shit you said on Twitter 10 years ago, like, everyone said some shit 10 years ago. I said some shit 10 years ago. It's like, and that's the funny thing is people try to like delete them and people try to hide that shit. And it's like, I've said this many times. Like, I used to say some dumb shit. There is a post still on my Facebook to this day that says something along the lines of, is it acceptable for me to call my friends the N-word, ending in an A, Because that is how I use it. I use it in that fashion. Like I said, dumb shit like that. I don't delete it. That is who I was then. That is who I was without the context that I have today. I fought for the use of that word for so long until someone explained it to me in a way that made me understand it perfectly. And that was simply that it's not a different word. It's the same word. And the difference in spelling comes from the fact that it is said in AAVE, and in AAVE, ER becomes A. It's the same word. And I was like, bet. Literally have never said it since.
Well, right. But
that just, I mean, that like logicked it out of my fucking dumb space.
The Max Landis situation was a bit different though, because you have eight different women.
That's what I'm saying.
Saying physical, there was emotional and sexual abuse.
Physical, anything physical, anything like emotional, like anything you actively said to people, harass them in any way, fuck off my planet. I'm uninterested. Right. Get out of, like, we have plenty of people here, plenty of other writers. I don't want to fucking hear it. Like, I think Warren Ellis is like a weird example, because it's like,
we've talked about this on my show. Warren Ellis says who Warren Ellis is,
but he's right also away. Either stupid or ignorant, and I can't decide which, because it's kind of hard based on his statements. But he's like, I didn't know I had power. And I was like, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
Well, I had five of the most popular fucking comic books ever written, I would be aware that I had some level of power, at least in the community.
But I mean, in the early days of Twitter, Warren Ellis was a person that would pop up, and either you would get porn from him, or you would get horrific images from him. But at all times, he would be like, I'm a bastard. I'm a fucking bastard. And so, like, that's what I'm like, people are like, oh man, he groomed these people. I'm like, but he was never hiding the fact that he was a bastard. Like,
right,
you know, you get involved with people like that, you know, and it's very clear in their writing as well. Like, he was never he wasn't Kevin Spacey. He wasn't trying to, or Bill Cosby. He wasn't trying to be like, oh, I have this wholesome image, but in the background, I'm a fucking asshole. He's like, no, I'm a fucking asshole.
Right. And it's like, I mean, look, owning it doesn't necessarily excuse it, but as far as I'm aware, he didn't do anything physically to anyone. He didn't harass anyone verbally. It's something where, has there been growth? Does he actually understand? He seems to be, at least he says he's, you know, doing therapy, learning. I'm going to let motherfuckers learn. But like, I don't understand how, what's his face, won Comedy Album of the Year.
Dave Chappelle.
No. Dave Chappelle didn't.
It wasn't Dave Chappelle?
The fucking white dude who got canceled, whipped his dick out in front of a lot of women.
Oh, Louis C.K.
How the fuck did he win that award?
I don't know.
How does he get to even walk around? You know what I mean? Like his whole thing was I've not watched a single moment of a stand-up since all that shit came out. So I don't know, but like from other people talking about it, I have found out that like his new thing is like, I'm an old guy, and like back in my day, kind of, that's his comedy now.
Yeah.
And it's like, how does he get to number one?
Yeah, he won a Grammy. After all
the shit. Yeah, he won a Grammy. That's what it was. And Jesus. I'm like, how the fuck does he even get on the fucking list? How does he get nominated?
Right.
Like, that's the shit where it's like, he was in a room where people whipped his dick out.
Yeah.
Not okay. That's a physical, visual assault at the very least.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see your dick.
Yeah.
What the fuck is this? And it's like, that's the kind of thing where I was like, get off my planet. I don't want to hear about you. I don't want to fucking know about you. Like, if you disappear, like if R. Kelly disappeared tomorrow forever, I'd be perfectly okay with that.
Oh, I'm fine with him spending forever in prison.
Like, just poof, gone. Don't care. Don't care. Because that's some shit you did that is fucking awful.
Oh, yeah.
But like, the fact that they fired Elongated Man off the Flash, that was a little extreme.
Yeah, well,
this shit was wild. The shit that he said was wild, super wild. But like, I did the math. He was doing a show or a movie or something where he was playing like a fucking college jock in the 80s, and I was like, I can see that mentality. kind of crossing over into Twitter, like while you're filming that. I could see that easily. Like if you get comfortable, because I think it was a show. I think it was like a season of a show. So like for, you know, however many weeks you're this asshole college jock dude in the 80s where people said all sorts of wild shit. I could see that transferring. But it's like, he didn't, as far as I'm aware, he didn't do anything physically to anybody. He didn't do it. But like, yeah, he did. He said some awful, awful shit. But like, if you are working on it, yeah, it's a maybe like, I'm going to go back and I'm going to clean this up. Or like, hey, or like preemptively, when you are working on it, when you are making the contribution, hey, I have said some shit, some wild, wild shit in the past. I don't stand by it. It's not what I believe. It was just said for shock value.
Right.
Here is the work I've been doing. But, I, you know, at the same time, I also don't think that like performative fucking shit like that should be required. If you are doing the work, then you're doing the work.
It's the yeah. Your if it's argument been
10 fits... years since you offended anybody. You're okay.
Like, first of all, how?
Yeah, right. But... right. Can't but walk down the street that, without affecting somebody.
That was the whole thing with James Gunn when they briefly fired same him thing. off of Guardians. Is like, you know, you go 10 years back, Disney and Marvel both knew about those tweets. They didn't check those tweets before? Like they're like, oh, we're very sorry and we fired. No, they knew about it.
Yep.
Without question. But and he came right out and he was like, yep, that was a very different person, but the internet is forever. So, you know, what do you do?
Yep.
It's a conversation I actually have with my dad a lot because he talks about how, all the stupid shit he did when he was young and he was like, and there were no, like, if you had a camera, you had to take a picture and you had to take it to a place to get it developed. Yep. Like you couldn't instantly.
Somebody would have to see that photo before you got it back in your hand.
Right.
There was at least the review process. When you picked up the package, somebody would be looking at you like, fucking weirdo. Like,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, but for sure you couldn't instantly take a photo and throw it into a space where it's pretty much chiseled in stone at that point. That is a mosquito in the amber of that moment.
Yep.
You know, and it is never going away.
Yep.
And I think as a society, we got to figure out how to live with that because I was dumb in my 20s. One of my favorite phrases to say about somebody is they're in their 20s and an idiot. I was an idiot in my 20s. I'm an idiot day to day now. Not that big of an idiot, but right. I said stupid shit. I did like, stupid shit. Right, yeah.
Of course.
So when are we going to be able to forgive certain behaviors? Like you have your line. You have physical and I would imagine like emotional abuse.
Yeah. Yeah. If you are actively hard line. Attacking someone verbally or like or even on the internet, you're just like fucking online bullying. That shit is ignorant as fuck. Like, yeah. But if you just get on Twitter and say a wild statement, not directed at anyone, you just say some ignorant shit and then you don't say no ignorant shit. I mean, okay, it was a lot of ignorant shit. Let's be honest. Like he said a ton of ignorant shit in like a very short period of time.
But a lot of it was also shock value.
Yeah, and it was 100% of shock value. But then like for the next 10 years, it was pretty milquetoast, pretty regular shit. So then like, at the very least, I would just give him the benefit of the doubt. Like he read that shit 10 years ago and was like, maybe I'm not going to do that no more. That's a bit much.
Right. Right.
And stop. You grow at the least.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, I've contributed to these organizations. I've been working with these people. That's to me, even a step above.
Right. I agree.
Like straight up lose your job.
Well, and then get it back when enough people are like, no.
Right. Well, I mean, the guy on Flash didn't get it back.
No,
they killed his character. Well, not killed, but they like burned his character badly. And then the one time he made a cameo, he was like bandaged up and then he never came back.
That is a show that I'm still getting through. Now that I finished Legends of Tomorrow and it's not coming back,
I am livid about that.
Oh, I love that show.
They brought in fucking Booster
and
canceled it? Fuck you. Like, get the... And it's fucking Donald Faison. Like, go to hell. I'm so mad, dude. I'm so fucking mad. I love Scrubs. To this day, I love Scrubs. He is one of my favorite comedic actors. The fact that they made him Booster Like, never would I have made that connection when I saw him and he was like,
yeah,
my name's Michael. I was like, that's fucking awesome. Like, what a fucking selection. But like, the fact that they canceled that show on a cliffhanger and people right. are like, oh, like it could have done better. Cool. Like the showrunner even admitted that they were playing chicken with yeah. the fucking, the cancellation. Like, we weren't sure. So I did this and we lost. And I was like, that's not a thing you play chicken with. That's just not. Yeah, like if you weren't sure, then finish it off. Cause they had like a midpoint in that season where like everyone kind of was doing their own thing. Yep. Everyone went back home. Everyone was happy. I was like, this could have been an ending.
Yeah.
Just take out the Constantine's ancestor. What a fucking weird backplot. What a fucking, oh my God. Like, it makes perfect sense within that show. But like, if you think about it for just more than 5 minutes, you're like, what the fuck do you mean?
Well, it's because Matt Ryan was like, I have been playing this character for so long. He's like, I think
forever.
Well, yes, but he's like, I think Constantine has kind of hit his plateau with where we're at. So they had like a lot of the you know, magic is drugs kind of storyline. He turned into evil Willow for a while and it was fine. Then he decided that he needed to go and rehabilitate. And so he basically became another character that actually was not even related to John.
That's a character that exists in the comics?
The inventor of time travel guy?
Yeah.
He didn't exist in the comics, but in the show he was not related to John Constantine.
He
just happened to look like John Constantine.
No, 100% that's his ancestor.
At no point did they ever say it was John's ancestor. And in fact, they never even nailed down that he looks like John. They keep saying he looks like everybody else.
Somebody finally said it and they were like, nah. I forget who it was. Somebody was like, oh no, it was my God, fucking memory is terrible. The bracelet girl.
Oh, okay. Zari.
Zari, but like bracelet Zari. She came out. Okay. He looks like John. And they were like, what the fuck?
Oh, you're right. About? You're right. They were they never actually did make the he's related in any way connection.
I thought at some point John was talking about his dad and that battlefield. I swear to God. Because that's why
you may be remembering.
I was like, I think it was it's supposed to be his dad, like legit dad or grandpa. Because I think it was that World War One. I think it was World War One, so it would have been his grandpa. Because I think that was meant to be like he talks about his grandpa being on this battlefield and all this other shit. So then when he started talking about that, I was like, oh, look, okay, so he's playing like his ancestor. Because I was thinking like, okay, so he has this gay relationship or whatever, but like. His like boyfriend dies, so he goes off and marries a woman like you do in the fucking early 1900s to not be the fucking standout. That's how I read it. Maybe I just filled that in for myself, but
that might be. I don't know. I need to look that up.
I'm mad that they canceled it. Because they canceled that, they were like, oh, we're gonna launch season 8 of Flash with the crossover, but like it won't be a crossover because it'll all just happen on the Flash. And I was like, this is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, by the way, remember like 4 seasons ago when we invented the Justice League? Here it is. And it all happened off screen. And they had all these conversations about contingencies and all this other shit. I was like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I was so mad about that. Like, bring me back. Give me a Justice League show. I'd be okay with that. Hell, give me a DC Legends or just the Earth Prime show. Like they've been doing in the comics. In the comics, all the Earth Prime episodes or issues have been, one was about Batwoman, one was about Legends. Like they were all different issues. Do that. Give me an Earth Prime TV show. Because, oh, okay, we're saying all these different universes are happening. Like Matt Reeves, Batman universe, and you have the Joker universe with a sequel that's going to be musical. I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, the Joker sequel is official.
Yes, I did hear about that.
And they're saying it's going to be musical, and I was like,
yes, and somebody's playing Harley Quinn. It's not going to be Margot Robbie.
It's not Margot Robbie. It's Ooh La La. Gaga. I thought it was Gaga.
Lady Gaga. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. I had to backtrack from a song. I couldn't remember her fucking name. But like, yeah, that's, and they said musical. I was like, okay, that's a weird fucking take. But then this was like mid conversations that I was having with my buddy about like, you, these could be just be frameworks and you could do these genre films. And I was like, fuck it. Like, if it works, it works. These Joker things could be like, you could have them come in from different perspectives because his reality is all sorts of fucked up. So what's the next one? Like, is the next one a fucking black and white noir film? Right? Like, who knows? Like, I think it could be an interesting take on Joker films. If, but it's like, I don't know, musical has a certain lightness to it. And the Joker is not a lighthearted fucking movie.
Right. And yeah. We'll see.
I don't know. Like, plus they just said Captain Marvel 2, the Marvels is going to be partly musical, but supposedly they've cast a dude who is the like prince of some planet where they only speak in song.
Okay.
So sure. That's a whole thing apparently.
Listen, we've had two movies with a talking raccoon and a fucking tree. I mean, you know, anything can happen.
Dude, that's the funniest thing. Like, I love the community around these fucking projects and these movies and shit. I just watched a TikTok where it was like a meeting of the Avengers and Blade. And Blade's like, wait a minute. So I've been out here fighting by myself because you guys don't believe in vampires? You don't think vampires are real?
Right.
And, and they're like, yeah, he's like, you are friends with a raccoon and a tree,
right?
I'm fucking joking.
Right, like, where is your limit?
Yeah, so
it's like that thing in Buffy where they were always like, there's no leprechauns. That was the only thing that they ever held to. There's no leprechauns.
Yeah, there's that everything else, literally everything else, but no leprechauns. That's the
right,
it's a wild thing. I can't wait for the new stuff. I'm so excited for all this fucking new announcements. Like, what is it? Secret Wars, which we all basically knew was happening. Right.
We knew what was going on.
The multiverse saga. Interesting. The name for Captain America movie, New World Order. I'm hoping that gives us like a villain of
Kevin Nash.
Kevin Nash.
He's going to come out and he's going to say NWO for life, for life. Wolfpack. They're going to be like, Scott Hall is dead. However, Rumlow is the newest member of the NWO. Bring out Crossbones!
That would be fucking funny. But I really wanted it to be is I wanted it to be the Serpent Society. And
oh, yeah.
Because that can lead us into like the hate monger and all that shit. So like, I could see that. Because it can't be Hydra. We have spent a lot of time disassembling Hydra. So like, I don't.
Yeah,
like it better not be some fucking bullshit take on Secret Empire, because that was a terrible fucking story.
Yes, it was. Did it for Ret Conversations, and god damn it.
Like, I hope it's not that. I'm interested to see that. And what, just real quick, one final question. What are your thoughts on potentially the X-Men movie being called The Mutants?
I'm fine with it. I mean, it separates it from Fox. Fox did a good job, a lot of highs and lows, right?
Sure.
So you have the first X-Men and the second X-Men, which were stellar movies. You have Last Stand, which sucked balls, followed directly by Wolverine Origins, which again sucked balls. And then, you know, you come back at it with the new run, which was
First Class,
which I liked the first two. I was not a fan of Apocalypse, but I thought they did okay with the first two.
Yeah.
And then you ended it with, oh no, I'm sorry. Yeah. No, Apocalypse was the last one. And then Logan, which Dark going Phoenix out on a high note. Oh, you're right. Jesus. I completely forget.
Technically out of all of that, New right. Mutants was the last one because it came out last.
Right. Well, and that's, so you got Logan and then you have Dark Phoenix, which again, fucking sucked. I've watched that movie for my show four times. I could remember nothing from that movie. That movie slides off of my mind and is just gone.
It's not
a New
not
Mutants. A I actually enjoyed.
I thought it was great. I
enjoyed it as a horror film.
I wanted it to be the pilot of a season. The two-hour pilot of a season. Yeah. I thought it like sets it up in like, a, we're going to go on these adventures. We're going to find out.
Right.
Out, and then nothing, you know, that we're going to get nothing out of it. And I was like,
right. Damn. Also pointing everything to Nathaniel fucking Essex. So I would have my Mr. Sinister.
The only thing I didn't like about New Mutants, and I had to really reserve myself to like, this is their take on it. This is a new telling. They really botched Cecilia Reyes, because that's one of my favorite characters from the 90s. And like, who has like been a long mainstay, and they really just like botched her entire personality. I wasn't a fan of that. Like literally midway through the movie, I was like, just like, calm down. This is just their take on it.
And right. Just, they also
I had to bury into that.
They also made Alandra a bitch just to be a bitch. And I never understood that.
Who?
Magic. Sorry.
Oh, Liliana.
Liliana. Yeah. They just kind of made her a bitch to be a bitch. And yeah, I instead, never liked that
like
as
having
a
the demonic like influence.
Right. Again, it's that show me why. Why did she get that way?
Yep.
You know, so. Motivation. But yeah, no, I'm good with the mutants just because, yeah, it removes that history, good and bad. And it's kind of a reset.
And I think there's also like a lore thing to it that a lot of people don't know. The Mutants was the original title that Stan Lee pitched to Marvel.
When right.
He created the comic, he said, I'm going to call it The Mutants. And the argument, this is like a quote that can be seen. He's told the story on interviews many times. Basically, they told him, like, no one's going to know what a mutant is.
Right.
So he's like, so let's call it the X-Men. He's like, they're not going to know what the X-Men are either. But like, that's a little more like branded.
Right. Right. You're right.
That's all it turned out to be. It was just a better branding decision. And it's true, because I don't know if the mutants would be around 40, 50, 60 years later.
Right. I mean, the Eternals are, so, you know.
Right. All right, Josh, we'll wrap it here. I'm hearing the sounds of dinner being prepped, so
yep.
I'll let you go.
That's at my wife setting up a giant charcuterie tray that we're having for dinner.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
Enjoy that. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you all for listening. Thank you all for watching. We'll see you in the next one.